RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello, welcome back to English Bulletin over at the World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by news across the country, today's in history, highlight of the week, week in review, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miss Eleni. We'll conclude our program for today with listeners' mailbag. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo hopes his visit to the United States can benefit people. Thousands of Indonesian citizens enthusiastically welcome President Joko Widodo's visit in the United States. Social Affairs Ministry prepares 7,000 cleaner tools to help smoke victims in Central Kalimantan. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo hoped that his official visit to the United States from October the 24th to 30th will bring benefits to the people in the country. Presidential Communication Team Ari Dwi Payana, in a press statement received in Abu Dhabi on Sunday, said that the official visit of President Joko Widodo or Jokowi, which is at the official invitation of U.S. President Barack Obama, aims to enhance the bilateral cooperation between Indonesia and the United States, particularly in the field of trade and investments, the digital economy and creative, development of tolerance and democracy. In this visit, according to the plan, in addition to meet President Barack Obama, President Jokowi will also conduct a series of meetings with U.S. businessmen and will deliver a policy speech at the Brookings Institute, an influential think tank in the world. In addition, the president will also hear and see firsthand the U.S. success story in building a digital and creative economy. According to the president, all Indonesian people can take benefit from the development of the digital economy, including those in rural areas. The theme of the official visit to the U.S. is developing a strategic partnership for peace and welfare together. It illustrates President Joko Widodo's confidence that Indonesia and the United States are two great countries and nations. Indonesian citizens' enthusiasm in welcoming Indonesian President Joko Widodo's visit in the United States is quite high. Around 1,250 Indonesians are scheduled to meet with President at the Hall of Indonesian Residents in Washington, D.C. on Sunday afternoon local time. The hall is assumed to be unable to accommodate the number of Indonesian citizens who want to attend the meeting, such as those from New York City. It is proven with the number of Indonesians who still want to register for the meeting. Therefore, the Indonesian embassy will provide video streaming so that the Indonesian society can still follow the meeting. Chairman of the Indonesian diaspora in the three-state area of New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, Harry Mahfudi, said that the diaspora want to make sure that they can contribute to share their thoughts. The Indonesian Embassy in Cairo continuously encourages cooperation in the field of science among universities in Indonesia and Egypt. Education and Culture Attaché of the Indonesian Embassy in Cairo, Fahmi Lukman, to RRI correspondent in Egypt, said that Indonesia needs to cooperate with Egypt in the field of science and technology in view of Egypt has the science potential that needs to be explored together.
Kita akan dorong terus kerjasama-kerjasama yang memang kemudian juga.
And we will continue to encourage cooperation associated with science because we realize that Egypt, in terms of scientific development, is extraordinary. We know that there are 4 Nobel Prize winners from Egypt. In the field of physics and atomic science, there is Muhammad Al-Barabai. In the field of chemistry and physics, there is Muhammad Ahmed Zuhal. Then in the world peace, there is the former president of Egypt. Then the fourth is in the field of literature. There is Najib Mahfouz. And this is remarkable, a country with four Nobel Prize winners. It means that there is something we can explore through cooperation between universities. Fahmi explained the Indonesian Embassy in Cairo held a joint working group on higher education and research among university leaders last year to encourage cooperation between universities of both countries in the field of science and technology. According to Fahmi, it will continue to develop cooperation between universities of both countries, especially in the field of science and technology. At least 10 people have died from exposure to the haze so far in Sumatra and Kalimantan, the hardest hit parts of Indonesia. Sutopo Purwonugroho, spokesman for the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency, on Saturday said several people died during efforts to extinguish the flames while others fell gravely ill and died after breathing in the toxic fumes, mostly because they had an existing health condition. The death toll cited by Sutopo did not include 7 hikers who were killed in a forest fire on Mount Lawu in East Java on October the 18th. More than 500,000 cases of acute respiratory tract infection due to the haze have been reported in Riau, Jambi, South Sumatra, and West Central and South Kalimantan in the period from July the 1st until Friday. Sutopo said that 99% of the fires were lit intentionally, meaning that the haze crisis should be considered a man-made disaster and a crime against humanity of extraordinary proportions. The Indonesian Ministry for Social Affairs is preparing 7,000 air cleaner units prioritized to help smog victims in Central Kalimantan Province. Minister Khofifah Indar Parawangsa, during her visit to Pulau Pisang District, Central Kalimantan on Saturday, said that currently the government is testing the unit to work with pump and compressors, saying that the tools are prioritized for Central Kalimantan as the smoke thickness and air pollutant standard index have to be alerted to not endanger people's health. Minister Khofifah added that a total of 1,000 units are currently being produced and will be distributed on Sunday. The units will be placed in evacuation spots. The Indonesian Ministry for Social Affairs has prepared 7 evacuation spots in Central Kalimantan for the vulnerable smoke victims, namely babies, children, pregnant women, and elderly. To end the news, here are the main points once again. President Joko Widodo hopes his visit to the United States can benefit the people. Thousands of Indonesian citizens enthusiastically welcome President Joko Widodo's visit in the United States. Social Affairs Ministry prepares 7,000 cleaner tools to help smog victims in Central Kalimantan. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasi, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, welcome back with me, Dee, in our weekly segment News from Across the Country, which presents you various interesting events from across the country during the week. Listener, the first news comes from Yogyakarta. The Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency, or BMKG, launched Climate Station in Yogyakarta. The launching was done last Wednesday, 21st of October, in Sleman, Yogyakarta. When Secretary of the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency Widada Sulistya said that Climate Station in Yogyakarta is expected to contribute in food protection directly and indirectly in this area. According to him, by knowing climate prediction from Climatology Station, agricultural sector can predict commodities which are suitable to be planted in the season. He also hoped that the development of BMKG Yogyakarta Weather Radar System could support the government's food security program. Weather radar has functioned to observe Earth atmosphere movement. According to Widada, this observation figures out weather phenomena from atmosphere such as rainfall, wind movement direction, and temperature. From various radar data combinations, heavy rain potential, wind storm, and various weather conditions which are likely to harm agriculture. Weather radar can give early weather warning information 3 to 4 hours before heavy rain happens, so that various efforts can be done to anticipate possible disasters. Widada stated that Yogyakarta is chosen as the climate station and radar system because this area becomes one of food or paddy product centers among 11 regions in Indonesia. Besides, in his view, Yogyakarta special region becomes one of areas that is often hit by disasters like whirlwind, landslide, and drought. Although earthquake often rarely happens, it has high damage power like it happened in 2006 in Yogyakarta. The next news comes from Sentani, Papua. Tens of diver communities in Jayapura join underwater photo contest to enliven Teluk Tanah Merah Marine Festival in Kampung Tablanusu, Depapre District, Jayapura Regency, Papua. Head of Jayapura Regency Tourism Service, Chris K. Tokoro, said in Sentani last Wednesday that the divers are diver communities from Jayapura Province Regency and City Service, as well as the National Military or TNI and the Indonesian Police. He explained that underwater photo contest is an event whose result will be promoted to every tourist coming to the festival. According to him, Teluk Tanah Merah still keeps millions of tourism beauty potential which hasn't been optimally managed. He added that in 2016, the tourism service will cooperate with Bunaken Diving Community to set diving points border in the area. On October 22nd, the government set a national Santri Day. Santri refers to Islamic students. Various lively events were held in several regions in Indonesia to celebrate the day. In Garut, West Java, last Thursday, hundreds of Muslims from various pesantren or Islamic boarding schools and people in general studied together to write Al-Quran holy verses at Gedung Pendopo Building, Garut. As many as 300 people from state agencies, pesantren, and people in Garut Regency commemorated National Santri Day by learning to write Al-Quran by using follow-the-line method, which thickens Al-Quran letters introduced by pesantren Suryalaya Tasikmalaya Regency. Meanwhile, in Kudus Central Java, Santri Day setting in Kudus Regency Central Java is colored by 1,000 car parade with thousands of participants. Before the parade, around 6,000 santri and students of madrasa or Islamic schools in Kudus Regency followed the ceremony of Santri Day setting on October 22nd. Head of Kudus National Santri Day Festival Committee, Sanusi MH, said in Kudus last Thursday that this ceremony and parade is an effort to remind the nations of the struggle of santri. It aims to awaken the values and fighting spirits of kiai, or clerics, and santri, as well as remind of nationalism in this country. Listener, that and news from across the country from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Di Nugraha. Thanks for listening.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's start with what happened on October the 25th, 1945. The Allies landed in Surabaya to disarm Japanese troops. On September the 8th, 1945, the Allied forces arrived in Indonesia. The arrival of Allied troops in Indonesia was welcomed by the people. The Allied goal was to disarm the Japanese troops, free prisoners, and search for war criminals. However, the arrival of Allied troops was followed by the Dutch, who wanted to come back to Indonesia to establish a civilian government called NICA, or Netherlands Indies Civil Administration. Allied troops especially the British troops, first landed in Surabaya on October the 25th, 1945. The landing was led by Brigadier General A.W.S. Wallaby. 2 days later, the British troops stormed the prison of the New Republic to liberate detained Allied officers. On October 28, 1945, Allied outposts throughout the city of Surabaya were attacked by Indonesian youths. In the attack, the Allied forces were pinned. On October 29, the youth managed to take over the Allied stronghold. On October 30, 1945, fighting in front of International Bank Building occurred, precisely at Jembatan Merah or the Red Bridge. Brigadier General Malaby was killed during the incident. Turning now to October 25, 2009, the Baghdad bombing. On October 25, 2009, Baghdad bombing occurred, killed 155 and injured at least 721 people. Explosions came from 2 suicide bombers in the minivan that targeted the Ministry of Justice and the Baghdad Provincial Council building. Not only the 2 buildings, the city and public works ministry, which is located about 50 meters from the site, also suffered damage. On March 11, 2010, Iraqi police arrested Munaf Abdul Rahim Al-Rawi, the mastermind behind the bombing. The incident is the deadliest attack ever occurred since a similar incident in August 2007 that killed 120 people. The last is from October 25, 2010, Mentawai Islands earthquake. On October 25, 2010, an earthquake with a 7.7 magnitude occurred off the coast of Sumatra, Mentawai Islands. The United States Geological Survey said the quake occurred at 21.42 local time, about 240 kilometers west of Bengkulu, close to the Mentawai Islands. It caused tsunamis as high as 3 to 10 meters, and at least 77 villages were destroyed. The tsunami waves killed hundreds of people on the beach of Mentawai Islands. As a result, 286 people were killed, and 252 others were reportedly missing. Well, that was Today in History of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
Listener, this is Highlights of the Week from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with me, Dee, entitled The 15th IORA Ministerial Meeting in Padang, West Sumatra. Listener, Ministerial Meeting of Indian Ocean Rim Association or IORA countries took place in Padang, West Sumatra on October 23rd. However, before the ministerial meeting, there were meeting with senior ministerial officials to address plans and issues brought by the IORA participants. When it comes to IORA meeting in Padang, Firdaus Dahlan, representative of Indonesia at IORA Secretariat in Mauritius, said that IORA meeting in Padang is basically the handing over of IORA chairmanship from Australia to Indonesia. In addition, IORA members are sure that Indonesia will bring positive effects as the chairman of IORA for the periods of 2005-2017. Besides, Indonesia has programs to offer in the senior officials meeting. Meanwhile, in her opening speech at IORA ministerial meeting on October 23rd, the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno LP Marsudi said that to commemorate of 20th anniversary of IORA, Indonesia as IORA chairman of 2017 will try to launch IORA Concord. It is a model that will arrange efforts to intensify cooperation between IORA member countries in the fields of economy, politics, and social culture. Head of Seychelles Islands delegation in IORA, Williams, said that the government is optimistic that Indonesia will play a good role and bring IORA into a higher level as IORA chairman in 2015 to 2017. He made the statement after seeing the readiness and the seriousness of Indonesia in taking IORA chairmanship. William is also sure that Indonesia can solve the unfinished things from the previous period. In the meantime, to show seriousness of organizing IORA, the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry has chosen the city of Padang to host IORA. Following the appointment of Padang City as the host, Padang Mayor Mahyeldi said that he has coordinated with related officials to make IORA run successfully. To be historical moment, Padang City government has built IORA Park in Pantai Padang to show that Padang is ready to make IORA successful and become port gate of Indonesia for IORA. Listener, that ends highlights of the week from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Di Nugraha. Thank you for listening.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the week in review. A variety of important events that occurred this week are summarized in press review or the week in review. Let's start with Media Indonesia Daily, which in its editorial on Tuesday writes weighing up Jokowi-Yusuf Kalla administration. Demanding too much from the performance of a new government, which is only 1 year old, is certainly not a wise move. However, being apathetic and simply handing all the affairs to the government are also not the right attitude. Therefore, observing the performance of 1 year reign proportionally, that's the right step. Similarly, it's the right way to look at Joko Widodo-Yusuf Kalla government, which is 1 year old last Tuesday, October the 20th. President Jokowi, who named his cabinet working cabinet, start with infrastructure government that has not been completely smooth. There are a number of legacy from the former government that have not been fully completed. Some even are still in halfway. However, through the fast steps taken and communication, which is being established, problems are gradually being solved. The threat of disruption from the opposition-controlled parliament can be passed in a short time. Improvements in infrastructure, revamping licensing, as well as knitting back the spirit of mutual cooperation and harmony in a relatively quick period. Joko Widodo administration has got a serious blow of global economic crisis, which led to slowdown in the national economy. As a result, they had to revise growth targets and cut tax revenue. People's purchasing power eroded and the threats of mass layoffs began shadowing. That is compounded by volatility in the prices of basic necessities, which tend to rise, as well as the uncertainty of a number of indicators of macroeconomic stability. The latest problems, if not responded quickly and accurately, will drain the government's positive savings that has been achieved. 1 year is just a fifth of an administration period. However, it is very crucial to determine the smoothness of the wheels of government until the end of the period. Therefore, there should be no room for rest because the work is still very far from complete. Meanwhile, Tempo Daily, in its editorial on Thursday, writes learning from the Lawu fire, forest fire in the back of Mount Lawu, which has taken several lives and injured many others, is an evidence of how safety procedures have been disregarded. The government, through the Ministry of Forestry and the police, should be more strictly in maintaining mountains. Climbers should learn a lot from these events or accidents so that similar tragedies do not recur in the future. For that, many things need to be addressed. From what happened in Mount Lawu, it is apparent that the authority or the mountain keepers were negligent. They were not careful in selecting and recording climbers who entered the protected area. As a result, it is difficult to identify the victims who were found burned. According to Tempo Daily, there should be increasing alertness and improving the system of prevention. No need to wait for other casualties. Last is Kompas Daily, which in its editorial on Thursday writes, ending party dispute. The Supreme Court has made a final decision on the dispute in the management of the Golkar Party and the United Development Party. The Supreme Court ruled that the legitimate management is the result of National Conference of Golkar Party in 2009. National Conference in Riau put Abu Rizal Bakri as chairman and Idrus Marham as the secretary general, while Agung Laksono as vice chairman. As for the management of the United Development Party, the legitimate one is the result of Bandung Conference of 2011. The ruling in the Bandung Conference put Surya Dharma Ali as chairman of the party and Rohmahur Murzi as secretary general. Chaotic political parties that cannot be solved internally finally was brought into legal channels, showing its others among the party board members, adding to the complex issue of party body. Dualism management in political parties clearly impact the life of the party itself. As a result, in a number of local elections to be held on December the 9th, 2015, the parties in conflict cannot nominate candidates for regional heads. Now the Supreme Court has the final word. This is the right time for both parties to resolve the dispute over the management. The internal mechanism of the party could follow the decision of the Supreme Court, whether through reconciliation or Munas, Ordinary Court General Assembly. According to Kompas Daily, a conflict that never ends should be resolved wisely. Well, that was the week in press review.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news in brief. President Joko Widodo hoped that his official visit to the United States from October the 24th to 30th will bring benefits to the people in the country. Indonesian citizens' enthusiasm in welcoming Indonesian President Joko Widodo's visit in the United States is quite high, and around 1,250 Indonesians are scheduled to meet with the president. Indonesian Embassy in Cairo continuously encourages cooperation in the field of science among universities in Indonesia and Egypt. At least 10 people have died from exposure to the haze so far in Sumatra and Kalimantan, the hardest hit parts of Indonesia. The Indonesian Ministry for Social Affairs is preparing 7,000 air cleaner units prioritized to help smoke victims in central Kalimantan province. That was the end of News in Brief over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, to the frequency of 9525 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here's our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miss Lenny.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI's World Service Voice of Indonesia with Indonesian Wonder, a regular segment featuring Indonesian tourism, including places of interest, culture and traditions, and also culinary. Today, I will take you to Ransang Strait Beach, which is located in Anambas, Riau Island Province. So stay tuned in RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this broadcast through www.voi.co.id. Ransang Strait Beach, located in the district of East Siantan Anambas, Riau Islands Province, seems to be enclosed among hilly small islands. Anambas is actually an archipelago located in the South China Sea between East Malaysia and Kalimantan. Ransang Strait Beach, meanwhile, is located on an island measuring 2.4 hectares. It is not so wide, but its position is completely surrounded by clear waters with color gradation between green and bluish. Almost in every corner of Ransang Street Beach, there are snorkeling and dive spots that offer exceptional underwater panorama. The coral reefs and marine life in the region are classified as having a very diverse types and also relatively stable ecosystem. Around Ransang Street Beach, you can have various activities such as diving, snorkeling, and fishing. On this beach, all places could be a fishing area, but if you want more challenge, you can go directly in the waters leading to the sea. Of course, to get there, you must first do proper preparation as for the boat and fishing equipment. But if you don't have diving, fishing, or snorkeling equipment, nothing to worry about because you can still enjoy this beach with sunbathing or swimming in shallow water. Without any snorkeling equipment, just the naked eye, you can already see the coral reefs and colorful fish frolic in the ocean floor. It is a sight truly can refresh the eyes. The best time to visit this beach is in the period from April to September. It is not recommended to go there from October to March because it is the north wind season. So the waves in the waters around the Ransang Street and Tarempa are very high and could even reach 3 to 4 meters. The only way leading to Ransang Street Beach is by pompong boat or speedboat, for there is no regular transport lines that serve Tarempa Ransang Street Beach. For pompong, one-way rental between 300,000 rupiah to 400,000 rupiah. The time taken between 2 to 3 hours. There is a cement pier so that medium-sized ships or boats can be easily docked into it. To freely enjoy and explore the coast and the islands, there is nothing wrong if you spend the night there. On this beach, you can set up a tent at many points, especially in the back of the beach, in the grassy areas with palm trees on both left and right sides. At the time you spend the night in this Ransang Street Beach, do not forget to bring supplies and equipment like a sleeping bag, mosquito repellent cream, jacket, change of clothes, sunblock. And of course, you must first ask permission to the island guard. If you are interested in marine tourism, find time to visit and vacation in this Ransang Street Beach. Guaranteed, you will not forget its beauty. And if you visit Anambas, you should explore the islands one by one by renting a boat or trekking to some islands. Well, that was Indonesian Wonder today. Until next time with another interesting topic.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and tradition, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition will be discussing Bali, which has become a clean energy pilot region. So stay tuned. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. Bali Province has become a pilot center for clean and environmentally friendly energy. Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Sudirman Said said recently, choosing Bali as the pilot center for clean and environmentally friendly energy, in addition to be in line with the local government visions, is also because Bali is a world tourist destination. So that the clean energy program to be distributed to the national and international community. Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources is targeting in 2018 or before 2019, Bali has implemented 100% clean energy. Sudirman Said explained the central government will give full support related to the project, including in the form of policies, investment to improve the quality of human resources. This is a follow-up to the agreement between the provincial government of Bali and the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources in July 2015. Sudirman explained that a number of measures have been prepared, among others, the state electricity company will change the energy in fuel into gas, steam, or a renewable energy already in the power company roadmap. Asian Development Bank, or ADB, has disbursed $3 million to support clean energy pilot program in Bali. As an initial step, government offices in Bali plan to become the first pilot project that use this clean energy. Meanwhile, the governor of Bali, Made Mangkupastika, welcomed the decision to make Bali as a pilot center for clean energy. According to him, the effort is in line with the concept of Balinese life that is based on three hitakarana, or three harmonization of man's relationship with nature, fellow human beings, and the environment. Such efforts are also in line with the local government program, which is eco-friendly policy or pro-environment, in addition to four other programs, namely pro-culture, pro-growth, pro-poor, and the provision of job or pro-job. Well, that was Miscellany today. Until the next edition of Miscellany with another interesting topic.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia. Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Well, listener, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. And now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Rubens Ferraz Pedroso in Brazil. He was listening to our transmission through frequency of 9525 kHz on August 21st, 2015, from 14:39 hours till 15:100 hours UTC, in Indonesian language, and the simple was 44333. Hello, Mr. Rubens Perez Pedroso. Thank you very much for your attention and also your appreciation on our broadcast. And we are really glad because you have attached the audio recording of our broadcast from your receiver. I think it was quite clear. Don't worry, we have sent your request to your home. Please be patient to wait for it. Well, Mr. Rubens Perez Pedroso, keep listening and sending your reception report to our radio. Thank you. And special for you and also our regular listeners, we will play a beautiful Indonesian song. Listener, now we will reply an email from our regular listener in Pakistan, Riaz Ahmad Khan. Hello, Mr. Riaz Ahmad Khan. Thank you for your email dated October 22, 2015. In your email, you said that you listened to our program at 600 hours to 700 hours UTC. And as usual, the reception was excellent, namely 55555. Riaz Ahmad Khan, thank you very much for your compliment about our segment Indonesian Woman. And we are really glad because you show your improvement in Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully you can add your vocabulary and maybe someday you will write an email or letter to us in Bahasa Indonesia. Thank you. Well, listener, before we continue, we will play another beautiful song for our regular listener, wherever you are. Enjoy the song.
Lepaskanlah beban pikiranmu, dengarkan hatimu. Bukanlah buah yang terjatuh dekat pohonnya. Cita-cita adalah benih yang terbawa angin samudra. Realita membawamu jatuh ke bawah, tapi ingat-ingatlah bila mimpi tak sedalam dengan apa yang kau tuju, tak sesuai dengan apa yang kau mau. Lepaskanlah beban pikiranmu, dengarkan hatimu. Dunia ini lebih luas dari sekarang. Ingatlah mimpimu yang kau kejar dulu, jangan layu, jangan kau ragu-ragu sekarang. Ingatlah mimpimu yang kau kejar dulu, jangan layu, jangan kau ragu-ragu sekarang. Ingatlah mimpimu yang kau kejar dulu, jangan layu, jangan kau ragu-ragu. Bila mimpi tak sejalan dengan apa yang kau tuju, tak sesuai dengan apa yang kau mau, lepaskanlah beban pikiranmu.
Listener, you are still listening to Listener's Mailbag broadcast every Sunday. And now we continue to reply an email from Abdul Manan in Bangladesh. Hello, Mr. Abdul Manan. Thank you for your email on our broadcast. We also thank you because you have given your time to listen to our radio. As information, besides listening through frequency of 9525 kHz, you can also listen through the audio streaming at www.voi.co.id or through TuneIn or RRI Play and RRI World Service mobile applications on your smartphones for Android and iOS. Well, Mr. Abdul Manan, we are looking forward to your next email with your reception report. Thank you very much, and special for you and also other regular listeners wherever you are. We will play another beautiful song. Let's check it out.
Sudah terlalu lama sendiri, sudah terlalu lama aku asik sendiri. Lama tak ada yang menemani rasanya.
pagi ke malam hari tak pernah terlintas di hati. Bahkan di saat sendiri aku tak pernah merasa sepi. Sampai akhirnya ku sadari aku tak bisa terus begini. Aku harus berusaha, tapi mulai dari mana? Sudah terlalu lama sendiri, sudah terlalu lama aku asik sendiri. Lama tak ada yang menemani. Rasanya sudah terlalu asik sendiri, sudah terlalu asik dengan duniaku sendiri. Lama tak ada yang menemani. Rasanya teman-temanku berkata, yang kau cari seperti apa? Ku hanya bisa tertawa, nanti pasti ada waktunya. Oh, walau jauh di lubuk hati, aku tak ingin terus begini. Aku harus berusaha, tapi mulai dari mana? Sudah terlalu lama sendiri, sudah terlalu lama aku asik sendiri. Lama tak ada yang menemani. Rasanya sudah terlalu asik sendiri, sudah terlalu asik dengan duniaku sendiri. Mata ada yang menemani. Rasanya bukan tanpa nyali, sadar aku begini. Apa yang di depan mata tak seperti yang engkau kira. Oh, bahwa sesungguhnya pintu hati menunggu terbuka. Sendiri, lama tak ada yang menemani. Rasanya jauh di lubuk hati, aku tak ingin sendiri.
Listener, unfortunately, we have to sign off. We appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. I repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to info@voi.co.id. info@voi.co.id, or you can also send to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and The Voice of Indonesia, or you can also follow our Twitter @voiindonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, we will play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Ania Sana. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag. Bye-bye.
asin pananun hujan hingga terjalin terbentuk awan semua tentang kebalikan terlukis tertulis tergaris di wajahmu keputusan yang telah terputuskan ketika engkau telah tunjukkan semua tentang kebalikan kita. Kau sakiti aku, kau gerami aku. Kau sakiti gerami, kau benci aku. Dan bila esok nanti kau akan tersadar dan temukan seorang lain yang dan aku kan hilang, ku kan jadi hujan, tapi takkan lama, ku kan jadi awan. Merakit mesin penenun hujan ketika tunjukkan semua tentang kebalikan, kebalikan di antara kita. Kau sakiti aku, kau gerami aku. Kau sakiti gerami, kau benci aku. Dan bila esok nanti kau akan tersadar dan temukan seorang lain yang lebih baik, dan aku kan hilang, ku kan jadi hujan, tapi takkan lama, ku kan jadi awan. Merakit mesin penenun
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. and join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VOI Indonesia.